just speak to some of the ladies at Kitty's Church. And I want to continue. And I'm just going to jump right in this next session of Building God's House. And we're going to look at Matthew 16 from verse 13 to 19. Speaking about building God's house, what is God's house and how do we build it? Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea and Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say, but who do you say I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this I will build, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." What a powerful Christ and his disciples. And here he speaks about the fact that he's going to build his church on something, and it's not like Peter, like the Roman Catholics believe, but he was speaking about this question that he asked these disciples. He asked them, "Who do the people say I am?" And they had various opinions. The people of the day had various thoughts about Jesus. And after he heard everybody's opinion about himself, Jesus asked a very personal question to his disciples. He says, "But who do you say I am?" And then Peter responded and he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus responded and he said, "You know what? On this declaration, on this testimony, they will to you not by flesh or blood, but by my Father's in heaven. By this testimony, on this testimony, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And there's so much that one can say around us, and I just want to leave this thought that the church is meant to advance against hell, not hell against the church. The gates of hell is a defensive position. It is the stronghold of any fortifications. And Jesus is saying, on this declaration, on this testimony, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not stand against it. It will crush it. It will overcome it. And the thing that will overcome, indeed, have declared that I am the Son of God, that I am the Christ, that I am the Messiah, that I am the Son of the living God. My question this morning is simply this: who do you say is Jesus Christ? Who do you say is Jesus? Your answer will not only determine your values and your lifestyle. It's not just your lifestyle. It's not just your values. It's not just eternal life. It is even the very thing that will advance God's purpose in this world through the church. More than the answer of who he is, this question also relates to the church and ultimately establishes its destiny on the earth. This declaration, on this answer of who you say I am, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So who do you say is Jesus Christ? Peter responded in saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and on this rock the church is built against the kingdom of God." Revelations 12, verse 11 says, "And they overcame him," speaking about Satan, "and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives unto death." How relevant is it today for us as we see our brothers and sisters being persecuted for this testimony? In the Middle East today, if you are captured by the enemy, this question is the first one they will ask you. And this will determine your life or your death. Who do you say I am? Who do you say is Christ? Jesus said, "On the answer, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it." The destiny of the church is interlinked. And this is so important. This is what I want to focus on today, because the church in Europe is declining over centuries because it stopped declaring the answer to this question. Over the past 100 years, you see a steady decline in the church in Europe that used to be the stronghold of Christianity, that used to be the one that took the banner of the church into the world, it is declining to almost insignificance because the church have become silent to the answer that is asked by the world every day. Who do you say is Jesus Christ? And the response is, it's a personal matter. It's not the diplomatic correct thing to say. It's even offensive to declare who Christ is today. And the church have become silent. Too afraid to speak up. Too ashamed to declare their allegiance and lordship. So it's become a private matter. It's easy to say, my church believes. But when individuals are asked, who do you say is Jesus? They say, it's a personal matter, my faith. Because it's become silent. Because Jesus said, on your answer, I will establish my church. I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. So my question this morning is, who do you say is Christ? While Jesus was on the earth, there was much confusion about who he was. Some thought that he was a wise man. Others a great prophet. Others thought he was a madman. But Jesus declared in John 10 verse 30, I and the Father are one. And that was so powerful in declaring that he claimed to be nothing less than God in human form. Furthermore, Jesus made an unmistakable claim to his deity before the chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin when they held him captive. Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? And Jesus responded, I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. Now, for a casual reader, you might miss the significance and the meaning of Jesus' words. But Caiaphas and the council, however, did not miss what Jesus was saying. They understood very well. Daniel chapter 7, you can read that. We don't have time for this morning. But in doing so, he was not only claiming to be pre-existent sovereign, God himself of the universe, but he was also prophesying to them that he would vindicate his claim by judging the very court that was busy condemning him. And they understood exactly what Jesus was saying. And moreover, by combining Daniel's prophecy with David's proclamation in Psalm 110, Jesus was claiming that he will sit upon the throne of Israel's God and share the very glory of God. They knew exactly what Jesus was claiming. So to the students of the Old Testament, this was the height of blasphemy. Thus they all condemned him as worthy of death, because they knew exactly what Jesus was saying. In Mark 14, we read that their response, and you have heard this blasphemy, what do you think? And they all condemned him to be deserving of death, because Jesus claimed to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who do you say is Jesus? This question still echoes to today. It is a question that we cannot escape. Jesus is asking each one. Many people today don't understand that Jesus claimed to be God. They contend to think of him as little more than a great person or a great moral teacher or a good man. That's why they tried to stone him and in the end crucified him. So the question this morning is, who do you say? Jesus. C.S. Lewis. And kill him as a demon. Or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with this patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He did not leave that open to us. Did not intend to. Say Jesus was a good person. He was either a liar, a lunatic, or he was who he claimed to be, but you cannot say he was a good moral teacher. Today we refer to many people in our history as good men and women. We look at Gandhi, we look at Mother Teresa. In our own times, we look at Mandela. who was a good person, came to establish peace and a legacy that put South Africa on the spotlight throughout the world as a miracle. Mandela was a good person. But you cannot say that of Jesus. He was either a liar, a lunatic, or he was who he claimed to be, the Son of God. But he was not a good moral teacher. You have to decide. He was either a liar deceiving millions that he is the Son of God. Knowingly deceiving millions when he claimed to be the Son of God. How can a liar deceiving many be a good teacher? He was either a lunatic that he really believed that he was the Son of God, but he wasn't the Son of God, and therefore deceived many in his ignorance, but that doesn't make him a good person either. Or he was who he claimed to be, the Son of God. But we don't have the option to say he was just a good teacher, or who he claimed to be, the Son of God. And the answer to that question will not determine only the values you live by, the lifestyle you live, but it will determine your eternal destiny. To who Jesus is the center of eternal life. Jesus said, the Word of God said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." So who do you say is Jesus? Jesus claimed to be the only way for individuals to be saved. And He made it so clear in John 14:6, He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Me." There's no other way. The claims of Christ are not a matter of taste. They are not meant to make individuals comfortable. Instead, they are matters of truth, designed to make us realize that we are fallen beings and that we are in need of serious redemption. Jesus was radical in His claims because He didn't try to win the emotions of men and women. He was simply stating the truth so that they could be saved through the only way. That was faith in Him. That has not changed. Jesus did not come to preach a feel-good message, but the reality of human sin and the radical measures that God took to restore, to redeem us. But in this truth, there lies the good news that man can be saved by God's grace through faith in Christ. The good news is in the center of the truth that Jesus came to proclaim. For those who accept it, it's an offense for those who reject it. Even today in the church, it's so sad to see how theology has changed to match where the world is at. And now all roads lead to God. Yet Jesus made it very clear that nobody can come to God except through Me. My question this morning is, who do you say is Jesus? All boils down to this one question. How will you respond? You know, the amazing thing is the way you respond has a far-reaching effect. Not just in our salvation, not just in forgiveness, but it opens up our lives to be restored. But it starts with this simple question: who do you say I am? It's through the answer that leads us to a relationship of freedom. From our past, our sin, our shame, our guilt, it leads us to a relationship of assurance, of peace, of knowing that our destiny, that eternity is secure in Christ Jesus, not through what we have done, but through what He has done. With this very simple question. But this question echoes to the church today the same. Who does the church say Jesus Christ? And we have seen that the church is not the building, it's not the stones, it's not this roof, It is the living stones. It is you and I coming together. And as God is preparing us to build a church that reflects His heart in this world, the question still remains, who do you say, who do we say is Jesus Christ? Or is this a private matter? Are we ashamed or afraid to declare who Christ is? How will you respond? Who does the Bible, the Savior, the only valid object of our worship and our saving faith, the sovereign Lord, the righteous judge, the way, the truth, and the life? That is who the Bible declares, the Word of God declares who Christ is. The question is, who do you say? It is an inescapable question. One day we will all give an account to the answer for this question. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, Jesus is Lord. But on which side are you going to stand when you do that confession? That will determine what you decide in your heart today while you're still alive. How will you respond? He alone can redeem you, free you from the power and the penalty of sin. He alone can transform you, restore you to fellowship with God, and give you life, eternal purpose, assurance of salvation, and ultimately eternal life. And as we heard this morning in the offering message, this is eternal life, that you may know God and His Son, Jesus Christ. How powerful is that? Simple question. Who do you say I am? Today, will you choose to put your faith in what God says about Jesus Christ? I don't care what man says. My question is, will you choose today in what God says about this Jesus? This morning, my wife was sharing a little piece that they've been doing in Kitty's church about the deity of Christ. How do we know that Jesus was the Son of God? It was alarming to see that the reasoning and the teaching was, we know that Jesus was the Son of God because He walked on water. Because of a miracle. Peter got out of the boat and walked on water also. Does that make Him God also? Are we placing our value on the deity of God based on miracle? And therefore we're confused that when the Antichrist will signs and wonders and miracles. No. Jesus is the Son of God because God Himself declared it. He prophesied it. And when John the Baptist came to baptize Jesus, he saw the Spirit of God descend from heaven and remain on Him. And he said, this I declare that the one who sent me, baptized Him, told me, on whom you see the Spirit of God descend and remain on Him, that is He who baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I declare that this is the Son of God. And then the heavens opened and we heard His voice from the Father that said, this is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. That is why we believe Jesus is the Son of God, because God Himself said it. And if you don't want to believe that, ask anyone who met Him. Because you know what? He's not dead. He's still alive. If you want to point to a miracle, point to the resurrection. The tomb is empty, man. They went to look for the body and it was gone. But not only that, He appeared to Mary and Martha and all the disciples and 400 witnesses also before He ascended. You can have a relationship with Him too. You can deny My mother as much as you want to. You can deny Rita van der Merwe as much as you want to. I know her. You can deny Jesus as much as you want to. It doesn't change his existence. But you'll never get to know him unless you answer this question. Unless you put your faith in him. You will not only get to know him, you will experience him. That's on a personal level. So too for the church. We're in a season of building the church. Built. And how is it built? It starts with this simple foundation. A willingness to declare that Jesus is. Not to be ashamed. Not to be afraid. Revelation says you will overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. The fact that you were willing to lay down your life. Blood of the Lamb, word of your testimony. So as individuals, my question is, who do you say is Jesus? Will you today choose? Put your faith in him. Declare him to be the Savior. Follow him, your Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you have come to give us life when we did not deserve it. In our sin and our shame and our guilt, Lord, you have compassion and mercy on us. And you gave your Son freely. We did not deserve it. We did not earn it. How could we? We were still enemies in our hearts and our minds towards you. Yet you poured your grace upon us. How can we but respond to you and say, God, you are amazing. We do not deserve this, but you love us so much that you were willing to give everything so that we can have life. And through a simple act of faith, we can receive everything that you have promised. Life, assurance, eternity with you. Freedom, healing, restoration, deliverance, life abundance. It's all found in Christ Jesus. Father, thank you that you've made it so simple that the wise and the foolish, the rich and the poor, the young and the old can access what you have given through your Son. A simple act of faith. Lord, this morning I want to grant an opportunity to people right here, right now, who are not sure about their destiny, about their eternity, to be sure of your life. When you invite us, for those who have drifted, you invite us back. For those who have unbelief, you invite us to put a simple act of faith. While all the eyes are closed, if you are here this morning and that is your desire to know God, to know about this God, not only in your mind, but to experience him, say, God, I want to respond to this invitation of life. If you have drifted and you're far away and you want to return, thank you for that hand. And you want to come back to him, this is an opportunity to experience him right now, right here. I want to give you an opportunity. Is there anybody else? Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you for those hands. Anybody else? I'm going to give you a moment. Whether you're far or have never been in his house, his invitation stands for all eternity. You can come to me today and I will embrace you as my own. And there will be a great feast in my house because my son and my daughter has returned. That is God's invitation to you. And I want to ask you to do something bold. If you've raised your hand, do not be afraid, do not be ashamed, but I want you to respond by coming forward. And we're going to pray with you. We're going to seal this moment because this is what church is all about. It's about your destiny. It's about your faith. Raise your hand. I want you to boldly come forward just as you are. Let's just give them a hand as they do. Just come forward. If you want to respond, if you raised your hand, come forward now. Come seal your destiny. Come seal your identity. This is what. As we wait, we're going to pray for these people. We have some of the facilitators to come. If you're in your seat, don't worry. There's somebody next to you that will pray with you. as we pray with these people. And we're going to pray a simple prayer. We're going to call it the Lord's Prayer of Salvation. We call it the Sinner's Prayer. It's a very simple prayer. Some simple basic elements into it. And we start off when we surrender our life to God by simply thanking Him for His love. And we thank God for sending His Son so that we can be saved. And we declare that today I accept You, Jesus, as the Lord of my Savior. And I thank You that You have forgiven me of my sins. And that today I'm free. Today I'm in Your house and I'm accepted as Yours. It's a very simple prayer. And I want us all to pray that as we pray with our brothers and our sisters here this morning, because this is what eternity is all about. Let's all pray together. Father God, I thank You for my love, for Your love for me. Thank You for sending Your Son to save me. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. But I want to thank You that You gave me Your Son so that I can have life. Thank You for washing me clean as I put my faith in Jesus. Jesus, today I declare that You are the Son of God, that You died for me so that I can be free, but that I can also be Your son and Your daughter, that I can be in Your house, restore, never have to be afraid again, because I belong to You. In Jesus' name. Amen. As the counselors continue, share a few things with you. Maybe if you can just go to the side room or somewhere where it's quiet for the rest of us. For some of us, the answer to the question was very obvious. But when asked in public, our answer is still silence. Or we respond by saying, my faith is a private matter. Or we are too ashamed. And on that declaration, Jesus declared, on this build my church, on this boldness, this faith, this statement, I will build my church. Gates of hell not prevail against. So this morning, as I'm standing before you as a pastor, and my role is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, I want to be faithful to that and start this journey about equipping us to be the church that the gates of hell will not be able to stand against. Be the church in this community. And I'm not just speaking about us, Shofar, I'm speaking about all the churches, kingdom, that we will start stand for what we believe, declare it boldly in our trenches, then get out of it. Get out of our trenches, our defensive positions. Stop holding the line. Start pushing it. Taking this down, darkness away. Push it hard, because it will flee from you. The moment darkness see that you know the blood of the Lamb, have the word of the testimony, it's going to flee from you. So this morning, to make it very practical, I want to ask you a question. And if you can declare it today in a safe place where everybody loves Jesus, you believe that Jesus is Messiah, the one that came to save the world. You believe that. I want you to respond. Like those who did it for the first time. I want you to respond. I don't want you to come forward. It's not enough space. But you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are bold enough to declare it. The presence of man, I want you to stand. It Because this is the beginning. This is the starting place. This is what Jesus himself declared it on this. And as you stand in the presence of God, this is where God begins to build his church. This is where we stand, hundreds, thousands of our brothers and sisters that are slaughtered every day because of this. God says, on this, I will build my church. This. As we stand today, Father, and we declare that you are God eternal and that Jesus Christ is your Son. And he came to save us, to redeem us. And not just me, God, not just us, but the whole world, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For you did not send your Son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God, as we declare this, Lord, we respond to your commission that says, all authority in heaven and on earth had been given to me. Therefore, go, make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the very end of age. God, as we stand and declare, Lord, we present ourselves to you as living stones and say, God, come build with us. Build your church. God, give us the boldness not just to declare it inside, but outside. Lord, as we go into this world, Lord, and people ask us that we will be bold to stand as we stand today. We practice today with one another, Lord, that we will be bold to speak it in the world because we are not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. First the Jews, Greeks also. Father, we thank you for that. So God, I want to send your stones, your living stones. I want to send your children, Lord. I want to send your ambassadors into this world, not ashamed nor afraid, but bold in their testimony. God, and we thank you for the lives that will be added because of you doing your work through us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.